Okay. I see lots of children with worksheets, and I think we're ready. Well, our reading today is that passage from John's Gospel. So John chapter 15. If you have one of these blue church Bibles, that's on page 1083. 1083. And the passage that I'm going to be preaching from is actually verses 5 to 8. But we'll read from verse 1 because that's where this image of the vine comes in. So John chapter 15 from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The words of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us now as we look at your word together. Help me, guard me from straying from your word and what you have put for us here. And help us all as we listen to you. Help us to be drawing near to you and allowing your word to come and take root in us. And by the Spirit, give life, spiritual life to us. Cause us to grow. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're thinking about prayer. So we have a sermon on prayer, and I just wonder whether anybody's heart sinks a little bit when you hear that there's a sermon on prayer. Why would I say that? Well, because I suspect that at least some of us just already are feeling a bit guilty. And you think, I know this kind of sermon. I don't pray enough, and I will be told to go and pray more. And that's true. But we can always pray more. We should always pray more. So we know that. That will always be true. So let's try and go beyond that a bit. What I want us to be encouraged by this morning is that when we look at John 15, we see an incredibly humbling, incredibly generous, warm invitation to pray. So I don't want us to go away feeling guilty that we don't pray enough. I want us to go away with that humbling, generous, warm invitation sort of echoing in our ears. We're going to see that that's what we're looking at in these verses, but let's also remind ourselves of the wider context in John, because that sets the tone as well. So this is the night of Jesus' betrayal and arrest. He's speaking to his disciples on the night of his betrayal and arrest. At the end of chapter 13, Jesus has told his disciples that he's going away. He'll be killed. He will rise again, but then he will ascend. And so he's going away. It comes as a bit of a shock to the disciples. They're confused. But from chapter 14 onwards, and all the way through to chapter 16, Jesus has been teaching the disciples why it's good that he goes away and how they will live when he's no longer with them bodily. And if you look at that whole address, chapters 14 to 16, I think it's very helpful to see how it begins and how it ends. Chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Or look at the end, chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So that's the tone. It's not about making us feel guilty we don't pray enough. It's Jesus saying, I want you to have peace and not be troubled. So let's spend some time on the idea of Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. And then we'll zoom in on that promise in verse 7, which is the bit that really relates to prayer. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So first of all, remain in me. This is the big idea of the chapters. Even when Jesus is gone, we can remain in him and he in us. How? Well, by the Spirit and by the Word. And those work together. So if you look back to John 14, Jesus says the Spirit will remind the disciples of his teaching. He's going to send the Spirit for that. And then in chapter 16, Jesus says, the Spirit will guide them into all truth. So that's the Spirit and the Word working together. The Spirit of Jesus and the words of Jesus. And that's important because there's a danger that when Jesus is gone, the disciples, and by extension, we, think, oh, it's on us. Jesus is gone. We need to build the church. Let's get to it. No one else is going to do it. We have to take this on. And Jesus really wants us not to try and live life that way. That's why he emphasizes that he continues to be with us by the Spirit. And we must remain in him, not go off and try and do our own thing, build our own empire. And that's what the image of the vine and the branches is about, isn't it? So look at verses 4 to 6 with me from our passage today. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. A branch on its own won't bear fruit. It can't be productive. Eventually it will die, as the children were pointing out to me earlier, and it's good for nothing but fire. Jesus tells us straight, doesn't he? Apart from me, you can do nothing. We all have a problem with pride, and that affects how we pray. So if you're anything like me, when you feel stuck or scared, you might be quite quick to pray. The things that seem to be going okay, where you think, I seem to have this in hand, we're maybe a bit slower to pray about those. And that's dangerous. There's nothing that's God's department when we're stuck and the rest is ours. No, we need Jesus to do anything. We can do nothing without him. And so when we see that thinking creeping in that we can do some stuff on our own, we need to be humbled. This is the humbling part of this invitation. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. There is no part of our life that we don't need to commit to prayer. And I think if we really knew that, we would pray more. So that's the encouragement to pray more. But I hope that's a humbling message. That's what we need often, that humbling. But then we move on to this really astonishing promise in verse 7. Ask whatever you wish. Let's look at that in verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, we're going to come back to that. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It's an amazing promise. And it's not a one-off in the Gospels either. If you're taking notes, you could go and look at Mark 11:24. You could go and look at Matthew 21:22. We won't do that now. You could look at Matthew 7:7, the Sermon on the Mount. Ask and it will be given to you, and so on. And there's more of it in this discourse here in John. John 16:23, for example, very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Jesus is really emphatic on this point. We can pray boldly to God. We can pray expectantly. So do you ever not pray because you think God doesn't listen? Do you ever not pray because you think God doesn't care? Do you ever not pray because you think God just doesn't answer? Well, this is the promise. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now again, I think here we might start to feel anxious. Because sometimes we see these kinds of promises and think, we see it as a test. I'm supposed to pray and I'm supposed to get answers. And if I'm not getting the answers, I failed the test in some way. My faith wasn't strong enough. And I just want to say here, that's not what this is doing. It's not a test. Jesus, just hours away from his death, wants you to know that God does listen, he does care, and he does answer. So you should pray boldly and expectantly. Ask whatever you wish. We can do nothing without Jesus, but we can ask for whatever we wish. Well, what kind of prayer is Jesus talking about? I said we'd come back to the first half of verse 7. There is a condition, isn't there? There is a qualification. So let's take a look at that, and then we'll look at verse 8 to see what kind of outcome there is to this sort of prayer. And I think that will guide us into thinking what sort of prayer Jesus is talking about. So firstly, the condition, the beginning of verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. We're back to the vine again, aren't we? So the branch that's cut off isn't supplied with what it needs from the vine. No, it's taken away and burned. So if we reject Jesus, if we reject his spirit, if we reject his words, then we're disconnecting from the one who would answer our prayers. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. On the flip side, when we remain in Jesus, when we're being filled with his spirit and his word, surely that will shape the prayers that we pray. And Jesus says, be completely confident that God will answer. You might be thinking, what kind of prayers? I want to know. Well, look at the Lord's Prayer. Glorify your name, God. May your kingdom come. Provide for our needs. Forgive us our sins. Deliver us from temptation. We also get a sense of the kind of prayer Jesus is talking about from the way he describes the outcome in verse 8. And I don't think this is just about verse 7, but it's connected. It comes right after. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So is that the direction that we're praying in, that we might be fruitful for God, more like Jesus, showing that we are his disciples, and so glorifying God? I'm not suggesting here that we put on a sort of pretend spirituality when we pray. These are the sorts of prayers that Jesus is only interested in. There's no point in being fake with God. He sees and knows everything. We come as adopted children to our Heavenly Father, so we can bring whatever's on our hearts to him. I'm not saying don't do that. But those prayers to be fruitful, that show we're connected to Jesus, that show we're his disciples, that glorify God, well, there we're in the territory that Jesus is talking about here when he says, you can be completely confident God will answer those prayers. And so we can bring anything to God, but why wouldn't we pray those prayers? Why wouldn't we pray those prayers? So let's sum up. We can't do anything without Jesus. We're like the branch cut off from the vine. So we need to pray for everything, not just the things we've identified, small areas where we need a bit more help. Jesus promises our prayers will be answered. So we should pray boldly in all situations. And we want our prayers to be shaped by the Spirit and by the Word as we're remaining in Jesus, as we're connected to him. And then our fruitfulness will show that we remain in Jesus to God's glory. Well, let's just begin thinking about what all this might look like for us as Emmanuel Church North Stowe. And I'd love for these conversations to continue. So maybe afterwards, over tea and coffee, you could keep talking about this together. How can we as a church be depending on God in prayer? Well, I think it's good that we pray as a church for all the things that we're doing. On Monday evenings, we gather at 8:30 online for half an hour and pray together. We pray in our church family meetings where we discuss the different things that are going on. We pray for those. We don't just pray when we're stuck. We pray for God to build us up and use us for glory in all that he's doing. So let's keep doing that, and let's be on guard against any sense of self-sufficiency, that we've got enough gifted people now and we're organized enough that we've probably got these bits in hand. We'll just pray for those bits where we're stuck. Let's be on guard against that, because remember, we can do nothing without Jesus. We also pray for each other in home groups and at other times. And here it's right that we carry each other's burdens and pray together for the things that weigh on our hearts. It's right and good we do that. Let's also pray for all areas of life, though. So whether that's when we're in work or at home or in our leisure activities, that in all of that, we bring glory to God in what we're doing. Even if we're not looking at it thinking, oh, I've got all these problems and challenges here. Let's pray for those things. We can't do anything with Jesus, but he will generously answer our prayers. And just on a practical note, if you're not part of a home group, or you'd like to be maybe part of a smaller group, a prayer triplet that meets together, come and speak to one of the elders, to me or to Alan or Josh when he's around. And then just finally, as we go out now into, in a few minutes, don't go straight away, as we go out to the tea and coffee area, I encourage you to pray in those conversations, because as we've seen, we need prayer for everything. So there's nothing you're talking about that doesn't need prayer. And I think that'd be a wonderful habit for us to develop as a church, to make praying for each other just a natural part of our life together, because we depend on Jesus for everything. So I'd encourage you to do that over those conversations with tea and coffee in just a moment.